So this is the second night of our Lenten series, the second Thursday night. And tonight we have a speaker who I'm sure none of you have ever heard speak from the pulpit before, because I think this is almost his first time, except for some noon masses. His name is Davis Craig. And Davis has been with Spiritus since he was a very young person. He grew up in this parish. He recently returned from being in Peru for 2 years with the Peace Corps. He is now the organizational manager at Spiritus Christi, which involves a variety of things, including social media and trying to pull our somewhat diverse staff together and going in the same direction. He's already endeared himself to the staff and shared with him not only his joy for life, but his deep love of God, and those are both very apparent. So please help me welcome tonight, Davis Craig.
So I recently watched a movie called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Maybe some of you have seen it. And the story is about a teenage boy who gets bit by a spider, and all of a sudden he has superpowers. And around the same time, the Spider-Man in his universe tragically dies. And all of a sudden, all these bad guys that need to be fought so the world can be saved are his responsibility. So he doesn't know what to do. But luckily, other Spider-Men and Spider-Women come from different portals to come and help him. And he finds a good Spider-Man mentor. And at one point, he's really frustrated. And he says, you know, I really want to save the world. I want to use my spider powers. But how do I know I'm ready? When am I going to know I'm ready to take this leap? And the other Spider-Man says, you won't. It's a leap of faith. And I felt like that was really true, that when God's calling us to do something sometimes, God isn't going to give us a checklist where we can say, yep, I'm ready. No, sometimes God needs us to take a leap of faith. And I'm sure many of you have taken leaps of faith in your life, and maybe someone here is being called to take a leap of faith right now. I want to tell you guys a little bit about a time when I decided to take a leap of faith, and that was in 2016 when I decided to join the Peace Corps. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Peace Corps is a program that John F. Kennedy started back in 1961, and he wanted to send U.S. volunteers abroad to help in countries of need and by serving and helping build up the capacities of the people in those countries so that they can better serve their own needs. And really, the whole idea of the Peace Corps was just through this service to others to build more peace and friendship. So it sounded good to me, and I was like, all right, let's try to do this Peace Corps thing. And a lot of people would ask me, so why do you want to join the Peace Corps? Like, what's your reason why? And I would always have my good canned answer, the logical one of, well, you know, I think the Peace Corps is a great opportunity to learn about a different culture. You can learn a new language. You can serve others. And it's a great career move. And all of those things make sense. And they were part of what, in my mind, was the reason I was going to join the Peace Corps. But the real reason why, at my core, was when I got still, when I just calmed down and connected with God through prayer, and I said, God, what should I do? Should I join the Peace Corps? I didn't feel any resistance. I just felt a sense of peace. No pun intended. And so there was this calling. And was I ready? No. And if you ask any returned Peace Corps volunteer, they'll tell you, you'll never be fully ready to join the Peace Corps. But I just decided to take a leap of faith. And I ended up in Peru, where I became a community economic development volunteer. And community economic development, it's a nice, big, juicy phrase, isn't it? Community, each word just has so much that goes into it. Maybe that's why I liked it, right? I'm this young guy coming out of college, and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna change the world. And I'm gonna go down to Peru, and we're gonna craft new economic policies for whichever town I go to, and we're gonna change the entire economic landscape. All these people's lives are gonna change when I get down there. And obviously that's not that people's lives didn't change, but the economic policies, all that stuff, that's not what happened. There's this great TED Talk by Ernesto Ciroli, and he calls it, "Want to help someone? Shut up and listen." And he tells a story about how he started his first NGO, nonprofit, and Italian nonprofit, and they went to Zambia, and they wanted to help the Zambians grow food. So they found this town that was right next to this fertile valley. There was a beautiful river right there, and just this beautiful fertile plot of land. And they had these great Italian seeds, and so they said, hey, let's grow Italian tomatoes. And they planted all these seeds, and instead of asking, you know, why don't they have the agriculture in this beautiful fertile valley, instead they just said, you know what? Thank God that we're here. You know, they didn't ask. They just said, well, I don't know why they don't have agriculture, but thank God we're here just in the nick of time to save the Zambian people. So they planted these tomatoes and everything grew beautifully. And the tomatoes were just getting ripe, nice and big, plump tomatoes. And then one night, some 200 hippos came out of that river and ate everything. And these people were like, oh my gosh, the hippos, why didn't you tell us? And the Zambians said, you never asked. And this really hits the nail on the head about a perspective shift that I had to learn, and I think a lot of people have to learn when it comes to doing development work. And that's that instead of rushing into problem solving, first you have to start by building relationships. So with this new focus, with this new frame of mind, I really just focused on sitting and listening and learning about the culture of Peru. And there was a few cultural values that really stood out to me. And they were family, community, and food. And I gotta start by talking about food, because in Peru we always start by talking about food. I would always think about it, because if you had a conversation with anybody for 5 minutes, it was very likely that you had already talked about food or that you were currently talking about food. They love their food, and they had good reason, because it was absolutely delicious. Two of my favorite plates were, one was lomo saltado, which is finely sliced beef that they saute with these great spices and onions and peppers and french fries, and they serve over a nice fresh bed of rice. And then the other one, you guys may have heard this one, it's called ceviche. And it's actually raw fish that gets sliced up, and then they cover it in lime juice, and the lime juice actually cooks the fish. Then you throw a little hot pepper on there, some onions, some cilantro, a little bit of salt, shake it all up, and bada boom, bada bing. So the food was amazing, when I first arrived there, I had to take a bus up from Lima. So I had to take this long 24-hour bus ride from the capital city to my town. And when I got off the bus, I was greeted by my wonderful host family. I would be living there with my host family for 2 years, Odie and Julio. And I got off the bus and I had my two big bags, a big giant thing and then another one. and we had to carry these bags and put them on a moto taxi. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen a moto taxi before, but it's like a motorcycle and then a carriage that attaches to the back, and the carriage is about this wide, and then it has a little extra thing on the back that's about this wide. So like I'm at my site, and it's me and my host parents, first off, squeezing in the back of this moto taxi, trying to hold my bags so they don't hit against the road. And there I go, on my way to my site. And I'll never forget that first ride to my site as we went down this desert road, ocean on the right, nothing but desert on the left. And I just thought to myself, I never could have imagined this, ever. And that was the first of many experiences where my expectations were just completely shattered. Just totally not what I expected. And so my host parents, like everyone else I got to know, really welcomed me into their hearts and homes. And they treated me like family without knowing me. And that's something that will always be ingrained in me as one of the most important things that I took away from Peru, was just that value of community and treating people like family, even if they aren't your own blood. By the time I left, I think I had played on 7 or 8 different soccer teams, and when I would come home for lunch, my host mom would kind of have to battle off the other moms in the community, because they were all like, come eat lunch at my house, come on. So that was really great. And something else that was a little bit of a cultural difference was the amount of time that we spent at meals. We would sit down for dinner, and oftentimes on a weeknight, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. But on a weekend, you could sit down for a meal at 8 p.m. and you would be there at the same table, just sitting and talking till 2, 3 a.m. And so that took some getting used to, but it really, really became a special part of my experience, because it really taught me about the value of just sitting and spending time with people. And you don't have to be talking about something really special or amazing, you just have to sit there and be there together. And I think that might be why food is such an important part of Peruvian culture, because it's really the glue that brings everyone together around one table and gets them to just spend time together. Another interesting cultural difference was saludos. And when my mom came and my dad came to visit me, they picked up on this right away. So saludos are like greetings, right? So when you're walking around town, everybody's always saying, hola, ¿cómo estás? How are you? And you know, you couldn't get anywhere without having a bunch of people say hello to you. So one thing that I just loved about Peru was I had a 5-minute walk from my house to the office where I worked. And I could never get to the office without running into a bunch of people who want to tell me hello or want to stop me and see how I'm doing and just greet me with a really big smile. So I never ever made it to my office in a bad mood. About a year into my service, we got wind, literally and figuratively, that the El Nino storm was going to hit the coast of Peru really hard that year. We were experiencing some heavy rains, and certain towns were experiencing some flooding. So it wasn't too bad, and our Peace Corps director said, you know what, I think it's going to be all right. Why don't we still do our semi-annual Peace Corps volunteer meeting? I think you guys will have no problem. So we all went to a city about 10 hours south of my site, and right around when we got there, all of a sudden, the El Nino storm really started to crash in on Peru. And I can still remember all the volunteers, we were in a hotel in the city of Trujillo, and all of a sudden, a bunch of sirens started going off in the streets. And they were signaling that mudslides were coming into the city. And we watched from our hotel balcony as a 4-foot mudslide just came roaring through the road. right down the middle of the road. And all we could think about was our host families back in sight, our communities, and just how we really wanted to get down there to help these people. You know, it was this weird situation where we're like up on a balcony and so many people we care about are down on the ground. So our director called a meeting and we were like, okay, what are the next steps? How many more days are we going to be here before we can get back to our sites? We want to get back to our families and our communities. And instead of giving us a plan for how long we would be there, he told us that El Nino had gotten so bad that they were going to have to evacuate us, something that they had never had to do with the Peace Corps volunteers in Peru. So before we knew it, they put us on the next flight from Trujillo to Lima, and then from Lima straight back to the United States. So in a matter of moments, everything that we've been working towards was taken out from under us. And I can remember just putting my head in my hands and crying. It was just overwhelming. I couldn't imagine leaving my community. I couldn't imagine not seeing these people again. Am I ever going to get to see these people again? I didn't even get to say goodbye. And it was just so hard to leave them in that dire time. But in those feelings of grief, I also found some clarity about what Peace Corps really meant to me. Because sometimes in those moments of pain and in those moments of suffering, everything kind of gets stripped away that's not important. And the core of what really matters stands out. And I realized that Peace Corps wasn't about economic policies, starting a new business, or developing any new industries. It wasn't about anything like that. Peace Corps was about the people. It was about the connections and the relationships. And for me personally, Peace Corps was an experience of deep faith where every day I took a leap of faith, and every day the love and kindness of the people in that community caught me and lifted me up. So to not leave you guys on a cliffhanger here and finish that story, I did end up going home for 2 months. And 2 months later, I got a call from our Peace Corps director, and thanks be to God, he gave us the good news that El Nino had cleared up, and luckily, my site hadn't been hit too hard. So I was able to go back and finish my last year of service with the people and the community that I had grown so fond of. I had an incredible experience, and it truly changed my life. To me, it taught me that life isn't about achievement. It's about serving and helping others. And that community feeling I felt in Negritos, I really wanted when I came back. And that's why I knew I had to come back to Spiritus Christi. So I'm glad to be back here with everyone tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of my story.